U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski touched on an array of federal issues that affect Alaskans in her annual speech to the state legislature yesterday. In her brief remarks, which lasted less than 20 minutes, Murkowski spoke chiefly of the need to increase oil and gas development and the role that Alaska plays in national military strategy. She said there's an urgent need for new production to fill the Trans-Alaska pipeline, noting that Congressman Don Young has now succeeded a dozen times in moving legislation through the House of Representatives to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling. Murkowski said she thinks she has enough votes to get ANWR through the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committees, but it won't go anywhere in the full Senate until there's a filibuster-proof 60 votes and a supportive administration. However, she promised to keep working on it.
I will not give up until it succeeds. It must happen. It is simply too important to this state. It's too important to this nation.
Murkowski said another priority is making sure the nation's leaders understand Alaska's role in national security. She said she's skeptical of a proposal to move an F-16 squadron from Eielson Air Force Base near Fairbanks to Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage. A federal commission recommended against the move in 2005, and Murkowski says it's still a bad idea. The senator did not limit her interest in energy to the national issues such as ANWR or the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. She also recognized that the state has its own in-state energy problems, calling it the most critical issue involving the state's future success. Dave Donaldson has more.
During the question and answer part of Senator Murkowski's appearance before the joint session, Bethel Senator Lyman Hoffman told her that in some parts of the state, heating oil costs have gone up 24%, while heating degree days have increased by 22% all this year. He told her he'd heard of people paying $150 for 20 gallons of heating fuel.
That's a double whammy to the citizens of Alaska. Many of them are facing the fact that they're spending over 40% of their disposable income on energy.
Murkowski said Alaska's internal fuel supply, along with its cost, is the top issue for the state's families and businesses. She has seen retail stores in small communities with energy bills of more than $10,000 a month. She said it affects the military presence in the state, transportation projects, even North Slope development. It's a part of the high cost of doing anything in Alaska.
This is our Achilles heel. Energy is our Achilles heel, and if we fail to be more aggressive in how we help our communities have no choice. I mean, we're seeing people moving in from the villages in your area particularly, Senator Hoffman. They're coming to town because they can't afford to live where they were born and where their parents were born.
Murkowski says the cost of fuel on the national level is helping Alaska by bringing more attention to the problem in Washington, D.C. She said the nation is now paying for short-term decisions made more than a decade ago. As an example, decisions on ANWR.
The issue that we face in the Congress is what can we do today to make a difference? And I think we need to stop framing it in the what can we do today to make a difference today. It's what can we do today to make a difference tomorrow?
As for steps the state can take on its own to meet some of its energy needs, Murkowski told reporters following the speech that she's optimistic some of the plans will come together. She said right now, the problem is that there are too many options on the table.
This is a dilemma for us as a state, and I think we've known it for a long, long time. It's not about our ability to do it because of lack of resource. It is failure to coalesce around one idea. Other states don't have any options at all. I suppose we could be in a worse situation.
Murkowski invited the legislature to take the opportunity to make more of an impact on national issues, to tell her office about their concerns. I'm Dave Donaldson in Juneau.
Murkowski was also asked about two messages to the federal government that are pending action in the state legislature this session. A resolution by Anchorage Republican Charisse Millett asked the Department of Interior and the Bureau of Land Management to clean up 137 abandoned oil wells drilled for exploration within the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. The wells were part of the government-sponsored MPRA exploration between 1942 and 1982 and have never been plugged or subject to remediation. Leaving them as they are is a violation of state and federal law. And Murkowski says that is offensive.
Well, you want an action plan? Let's raise hell. I mean, this is just wrong. It's just wrong. And they just can't handle the fact that they have turned their head to the responsibility. And yet, as you point out, they won't let you walk anywhere up there without 16 permits. And yet they have failed in their environmental stewardship in a way that is so egregious.
She told Millett that 7 of the wells have been cleaned. The next 37 wells on the federal list would cost only $50 million to close, but the Interior Department refuses to work on more than 1 well per year. Another resolution pending in the House is by Anchorage Democrat Les Guerra that calls for a constitutional amendment to prevent corporations or unions from being able to make unlimited contributions to political campaigns. That was the result of the Supreme Court's now famous Citizens United decision that allows private money into the process without having that source of the money identified. Murkowski says that decision has led to has had a phenomenal impact on elections and is counter to the idea of transparent government.
For lots of different reasons, people don't like to disclose. Well, for lots of good reasons, we need to disclose. So here's where I am on Citizens United. If we can figure out a way that legislatively we can require greater disclosure, we need to do that, and we need to do it soon.
Murkowski pointed out that she was the beneficiary of a super PAC support in the 2010 election. However, she said the principal supporters of all such groups should be made public. She does not expect any federal action until after this year's campaigns are over. Officials with BP Alaska late Wednesday told the Senate Resources Committee that meaningful tax change will turn the current downward oil production trend on the North Slope. The company's chief financial officer, Claire Fitzpatrick, pointed to several projects that have been in the works for several years, saying a better fiscal environment would allow for more resources to be directed to technical or engineering work. However, she pointed to other elements that have contributed to production downturns. Anchorage Democrat Hollis French asked Fitzpatrick historically whether Alaska's tax regime had been attractive before it was changed by Governor Murkowski and then Governor Palin.
If your question is, were they more attractive and were right at the top of the pack, the honest answer is I can't say, but there was probably a time when you were more attractive than you needed to be, and I think we've now gone the other way.
And during those years, what was the decline curve of, say, the Prudhoe Bay production area?
It will have been different at different years, depending on when you look at it, and depending on various points of when these different fields came in. And it was also impacted by the extent of well workover and drilling which had been done. So the overall decline rate, I think, will have varied between probably 3 and 6%, but I would have to go back and check the facts.
Anchorage's Bill Wilikowski said the numbers that the company presented showed that BP was harvesting Alaska by taking profits from its production here and investing it in other oil-producing areas of the world. He pointed to a record of declining taxes, rising oil market prices, and yet lower production. He asked Fitzpatrick what return the state can expect if it lowers taxes even more. Fitzpatrick said the state saw a lot of investment over those years, and now petroleum technology has changed.
We're actually probably more now viewing Alaska the way we would have done in the beginning. There's a huge opportunity here. Why would we not want to get after it? If at the point in time, kind of 2004, we didn't see that same resource base, our view and our strategy is totally different. But I understand your sentiment.
The Senate Resources Committee will consider amendments to its version of the tax plan today.